Well, this new series that we're starting this morning is going to be about the local church, and in particular, membership, what it is and what it isn't, and what it means to belong to a local church and to be the local church. And now my guess is that most of us here, whether you are a Christian or not, probably have a pretty easy or casual sense of what it means to belong or to be a member of a church. That for you, maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe it's about voting at meetings on finances or on staff hiring or on other things like, you know, color of paint somewhere, whatever it may be. But for you, it's just nothing tremendously earth-shattering. And so the idea of talking about church membership is like my initial thoughts about gelato. Well, I kind of know what it's about, but it's not that big a deal. But if you want to talk about it, okay. I'm not really going to concern myself with it. I know what it means, I think, and I'm pretty good. Or maybe you're here and you hear that word membership, and immediately you start to think, oh, no, this starts to sound a little religion-y. This series going to be about a pitch, you know, to join or a push to join. It's not, and it won't be. I came into this, coming into this topic with some real baggage that I had from my past. I grew up at Bramley Baptist Church, and when someone there told me that I should join the church, I didn't really feel one way or another about it. I'd been there my whole life, pretty much, and to be honest, that idea of membership sounded really exclusive, and it felt me feel a little bit uncomfortable. If the church loves everyone, then this member thing it made about who is and who isn't, and it made me feel uncomfortable. My take on membership at that time was that it kind of wasn't a big deal. If you were a Christian, you didn't have to become a member at Bramley Baptist Church. If you chose to, great. We weren't going to treat you any different. I knew lots of people that moved from church to church, kind of trying to find a church that they felt comfortable with or it was a good fit. So membership, for me, wasn't something I made a big deal of. But because I grew up there and most of the people that I knew there were good people and kind people. And so when I was baptized, I joined the church. And I figured that at some point I'd get more clarity on what being a church member meant, if it meant something more than voting at church meetings from time to time. I had a real blurry understanding of what church membership was all about. And maybe you do too. My reason for my blurry understanding of church membership is because I had a blurry understanding of what the church is. And I needed a more accurate lens to bring clarity. And so one of the aims we have for this series is to help us see what the church is, what the church is like, as well as what it means to belong to a church. Because I'm guessing for many of us, it's not what you think. There is nothing on earth like the local church, absolutely nothing on earth. And if we can see and engage with how the New Testament views the church and membership, I think it will actually elevate our view of the church, your view of the church, and potentially your view of Christianity or what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So this morning, I want to start with, what is the local church? What is the local church? And we're going to start by asking, who is Elvis here? Who's Elvis here? Which maybe seems like an odd question, but let me explain. When U2, the world's greatest rock band, came to North America from Ireland, Bono, the lead singer, was fond of asking that question, who's Elvis here, as a way of finding out who was the person who had the most influence in a particular area or a group or an organization. In his formative years, and indeed for most of music, Elvis had been such an influential figure in music. And Bono knew that every organization had its own Elvis, who was the sort of the key authority that guided its direction and made decisions. Now, another word for what he was getting at is the word imperium. Imperium is it's the noun version of the word imperial. You probably heard that before. And it means absolute authority or dominion. Imperium means absolute authority or dominion. Whoever has imperium is where the buck stops. It's the person to which all other authorities get their permission, and the person to which all other authorities must answer. In ancient times, we'd say it was a queen or a king or a pharaoh or maybe a Caesar. They were the ones with imperium. And in our modern times, it's the government. The government has imperium. So if you want to start an organization, if you want to start a business, or if you want to start a school or a charity, you need to get the government's permission. They regulate those kinds of organizations. It's not the other way around. The government has imperium. But, and here's the question for this morning, what about the local church? Do local churches exist by permission and under the authority of the government? That's actually an important question for helping understand what the church is. Most people in North America or in like our Western societies would put churches in the same category as clubs or charity organizations. Just another kind of voluntary or association or organization. But are churches just clubs or service organizations that exist by permission of the government? Ever thought about that? Now, I want to be clear. Churches, we do submit to the authority of the government, to the authority of the laws of the land when it comes to paying our taxes on staff salaries, which we do, and adhering to other regulations and codes, like building codes and those kinds of regulations, which we do. So in that sense, the local church is just like any other organization. But one thing that we, in particular Christians, should be clear on is that the church doesn't exist, the local church doesn't exist by permission of the government. The church exists by the direct authorization of Jesus. Jesus has imperium. The buck stops with him. He's the authority to which all other authorities answer. He's the one with ultimate power over life. Governments exist by Jesus' permission, not the other way around. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And he gave the church his authority to exist and to bring his kingdom near. And he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, or will not stand in its way, because he is the ultimate authority. And so this series, over the next number of weeks, is actually going to build on that reality of Jesus' imperium and the authority that he gave to the local church, to the church and to the local church, which is an authority, by the way, that you and I as individual Christians don't have. We're going to open that up in a little bit. It is something when we understand that will elevate our view of what the local church is and how we connect with it and what it means to belong. So this morning, I thought it would be helpful to start with, you know, kind of where we come at, probably, like I say, in North America and Western societies, where we come at where we think the local church is. So I'm going to start by saying what we understand the local church is not. And if you're a Christian, and this I'm speaking, I'm not trying to alienate anyone, but I'm speaking specifically to those who are Christians, then the local church is not a club. It's not a voluntary organization where membership is optional. It's not a group of people who, you know, really are into religious things and who gather to sing and to talk and to have bake sales. That's not what the local church is. The church is also not a service provider where those who attend, the customer, have all the authority. In spite of the fact that you'll often hear in different circles, we refer to church services. And it's kind of like we're offering up, you know, tune-ups for your soul in 60 minutes, right? It's actually one of the reasons why we try to call this a gathering rather than a service. And there are lots of reasons why Christians in particular often think of church, local churches, in those kinds of ways. Mostly, it's because we've been conditioned over a long period of time to think of ourselves as consumers who have imperium, right? And that particular perspective leads to all kinds of different approaches and practices with regards to the local church. For example, Christians can attend a church for a long, 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 long time, or probably forever without joining. Christians have a difficult time integrating their Monday to Saturday lives with other Christians and just kind of reserve it for Sundays. Or Christians just aren't part of a regular Sunday gathering for worship. Essentially, when we view ourselves as consumers with Imperium, we fail to recognize that we are actually, as Christians, we are actually partly responsible for both the spiritual welfare and the physical well-being of other members of the local church, even ones we haven't met yet or don't know yet. And so, with a blurry understanding of what the church is, we as Christians can operate as if we are Elvis when it comes to our Christian lives, and that we have the authority to include the local church when and where it fits for us. Now, I recognize these are cultural instincts that I have as well. And so we often, because of those instincts, end up treating the local church like a club to join or not to join. And even if we do join, it's often easy to remain unengaged. But the New Testament picture of what the local church is very, very different than that. Very different. So it would be helpful to look at it through their lens and really with a different sort of foundational metaphor. So what then is the local church and how does it relate to the overall church of Jesus? Well, the local church is the authority on earth that Jesus instituted to affirm and help guide and shape my Christian life. I'm going to say that one more time. The local church is the authority on earth that Jesus instituted to affirm and help guide and shape my Christian life. Just as God established the government of Canada as the highest authority on earth when it comes to your and my citizenship in Canada, so Jesus has established the local church to be the highest authority on earth when it comes to our walk or our discipleship with Jesus. Just as the government of Canada establishes the basic structures of Canadian society, including who is recognized as a citizen, so the local church is given the authority by Jesus to establish the basic structures of living as part of Jesus' kingdom now, and that includes affirming and recognizing citizens of his kingdom. So the paradigm shift is that we see the church not as a club or a voluntary organization, but rather as a people of a kingdom or a nation. And that's why the word membership isn't a particularly great word, at least on its own, because membership is more of a club word. It's not a kingdom word, right? Clubs or political parties and charitable organizations, they have members. But we don't often use the word members when we're talking about a nation. We don't say, you know, Canada has 41 million members, right? We talk instead about citizens. Clubs and service organizations begin with a common point of interest or a desire. And the church has that too. But the church also has a loving king who desires obedience from his people. Jesus is the Savior and King who has died on the cross and has rose again to rescue all of those who choose to place their faith or their trust in him. So in the New Testament, we don't read about belonging to a church or membership in the same way that we probably have become conditioned with, or probably in the same way that would make us feel particularly comfortable. Instead, the New Testament talks about a people gathered under the sovereign authority of Jesus. And the authors of the New Testament write instead about citizens of a kingdom, not club members. So when you look for belonging to a church in the New Testament, you're not going to find it if you're looking for membership in a voluntary club. You won't find it if you're looking for membership in that sense. Instead, you'll see Jesus and his bound together or united people. Now, over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to open this a little bit more because there's way more to the beauty of the local church than something that's sort of like an institutional authority. To be holistic, we're going to look at the church as family, as brothers and sisters, as branches in a vine, etc. And we're going to look at actually how necessary and important those particular metaphors are for helping us understand who the church is and what the church is like. But all of those metaphors, all those truths are actually set inside the church's authority because that's what gives shape or gives expression to the family and the body and the flock aspects of the Christian life. So I wanted to look at a metaphor this morning that I think will be helpful to replace the idea of a club or a service provider to help explain what the local church is, and that's to think of it as an embassy. An embassy. And I get that from the New Testament idea of Jesus' kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. The church is an embassy of Jesus' kingdom. Well, what's an embassy? An embassy is an institution that represents one nation inside of another nation. That's what an embassy is. It's an institution that represents one nation inside of another nation. It has the authority to declare its home nation's interests to the host nation, and it protects the citizens of the home nation living in the host nation. Right? That's what an embassy is. It has the authority to declare its home nation's interests to the host nation, and it protects the citizens of the home nation living in the host nation. Here's an example. I went to university in Virginia, and I needed a passport to cross the border into the U.S. and to return home. And so 3 weeks before my first trip home for Christmas break, I couldn't find my passport. I couldn't find it anywhere. Now, you're probably thinking, how could you lose your passport? It's like you had one job. How could you lose your passport? Well, after we're done this morning, come by my office and you will see my organizational structure and or lack thereof. And multiply that by 1,000 and that's my dorm room, my first semester at university. Then you'll say, ah, okay, I get it. I understand how you could lose your passport in that. In that moment, though, I knew I had no identification that would mark me as a citizen of Canada. I had no affirmation. I had no documentation. And I found out from the Office of Student Services at school that I would have to get in touch with the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C., which is about 4 hours away, to go and get a new passport, and they would affirm my Canadian citizenship. Because none of us, and I certainly don't, have the authority to just declare myself a citizen or a Canadian citizen on my own. Then the embassy, by the way, would not make me a Canadian citizen, but it would officially affirm me as one. And it would give me the ability to continue living in the U.S., protected by all the rights and privileges of being a Canadian. As it turned out, I found my passport. I had put it underneath my mattress for safekeeping and eventually found it. So I didn't need to go to Washington. But an embassy represents one place in another place in the world. But there is another kind of embassy which represents a place from the future. And that's what the local church is. A Christian's citizenship is in Jesus' kingdom. So a Christian is a citizen of Jesus' kingdom. A kingdom citizen is a Christian. Paul wrote in his letter to Christians in Philippi that our citizenship is in heaven. Peter wrote that followers of Jesus, Christians, those in Christ, are strangers and exiles in among the nations of the earth, and that we will look ahead to our actual homeland in Jesus' fully realized kingdom, when the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, which we read about in Revelation. So, the place on earth where those whose citizenship is in God's kingdom can find official recognition and asylum is the local church. The local church represents God's kingdom now. They affirm and protect his citizens now. They proclaim his ways now. They bow to him now. They reflect the love of God and his kingdom to the nations now. The church is a real life embassy set in the present that represents God's future kingdom now. So the idea of belonging to a church or being a member of a church flows from that metaphor. A Christian then is someone who has changed their mind about who is God in their life, recognizing the need that they need rescuing from sin, that they've been separated from God because of our choices, our sin. And they have put their faith and trust in Jesus to save them. And so God's grace through faith makes them a citizen of God's kingdom. And this is really, really important. God rescues and saves, not the church. The church doesn't make you a citizen of Jesus' kingdom, doesn't make you a Christian. It instead, the local church, affirms our citizenship. So a church member, then, is somebody who engages with the local church, the embassy of God's kingdom, by connecting and saying, hey, I'm a Christian. My citizenship is in God's kingdom. And the embassy looks at the credentials with grace and says, yeah, we can see that. Yes, we affirm your citizenship in God's kingdom. And that person can enjoy the rights and benefits and also the obligations of a citizen in Jesus' kingdom, which is their real home, even though they live in a host nation. Not only that, and here's the really cool distinction, that person becomes part of the embassy itself and helps to affirm and guide others. There's nothing on earth like the local church. And so a local church member, then, is someone who is recognized and affirmed by the local church as a Christian before the nations, in front of the nations. Notice, that's a very important distinction. A Christian is not someone who is recognized and affirmed by the local church as a Christian before other Christians. It's before the nations. That's, if it's just affirming before other members, well, that's a club, and that's not what the church is. We affirm one another as followers of Jesus before the nations. And then that particular person shares in the same authority of affirming and helping to guide other Christians. So to belong to a church, to be a member of the local church, is to be the church. And we're going to see that in the New Testament, because there is nothing on earth like the local church. It's very, very easy, if you've been involved in church before, maybe you have some of the baggage that I had, to become very narrow about what church membership is and what it isn't. And there is way more, like I said, to the beauty of church membership. And we're going to look at those other metaphors in the weeks to come, like family and body and living stones and a royal priesthood and others to help clear and give us a holistic picture. But this morning we're going to start with this idea of the local church as an embassy to kind of replace this idea of a club. An embassy better represents the kingdom authority that Jesus has given, not to us as individual Christians, but to Christians as a family or body of church members, his body. Jesus didn't leave us to just declare ourselves citizens of his kingdom and to guide ourselves, but he gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the local church to affirm and to help shape and guide as his kingdom people. And so the idea, really then, when we think about it, the idea of the local church as an embassy gives people who profess, I'm one of Christ's, I'm one of his children. It gives us, those who are called Christians, the opportunity to demonstrate that those words, I'm a Christian, actually mean something. The local church enables the nations to look around on the canvas of God's people and to see an authentic painting of Christ's love and his distinctiveness. And the local church helps guide people along the journey of following Jesus. And if you think about it, maybe for you that takes what local church membership is and puts it way up, or what you thought about the church takes it from here and puts it to here. And that, when you think about it, kings and governments are not careless about who they affirm as citizens. And so it makes sense that the king of the universe would care no less about those who call themselves his kingdom representatives. And the last idea I want to kind of share this morning, and we're going to come back to these in the weeks to come, the last idea I want to share that gives the local church distinctiveness and just makes it distinct from a club, is that if Jesus instituted the local church with the authority to affirm and to guide, then we don't join one like we would join a club or another voluntary organization. And this is where it maybe gets a little prickly for some of us. Instead, as Christians, we submit to one another as the local church. And that word submit makes most of us, myself included, feel a little prickly. But when you choose Jesus, you choose his people too. Choose the Father and the Son, and you get the family as well, which you do through the local church. And now, I want to be clear again, don't misunderstand. From the point of view of a person who isn't a Christian, the local church is just a voluntary organization. It's just a club. You don't have to join. But from the perspective of someone who has committed by faith their life to Jesus, it's not. And this is, like I said, where it kind of feels uncomfortable, and I'm going to unpack these things a little bit more in the weeks ahead when we're going to talk about what it means to practically submit and to stack hands or to join the local church. And I think it's important to say that the local church exercises its Jesus-given authority very differently than other organizations do. Jesus clarified this when he made the distinction between earthly authority and kingdom authority. He said that the rulers of the Gentiles, and you know them, those in, you know, political authority, they lord it over them. You know, they use their authority in very unwise and unhealthy and ungracious ways. But Jesus said that kingdom authority would not be like that at all. Instead, kingdom authority works by sacrifice, by giving ourselves up for the good of others, just like Jesus did for us. The authority that Jesus gave to the local church isn't about power like the world thinks of power, and it doesn't work through guilt or shame or manipulation. And that's why I said right off the bat the disclaimer, for those of you that get the heebie-jeebies, and that's a biblical word, about membership, that you think, oh, this is just going to be us, you know, squeezing us into joints. Not at all. It's about elevating our understanding of who the church is and what God has called us to do and to be with one another. The authority of the local church doesn't work through guilt and shame and manipulation, but instead it works through the tender, powerful, heart-changing work of the Holy Spirit and grace of the Holy Spirit. That means, though, for Christians, to gather and bind ourselves together means willingly submitting ourselves to one another through the local church. And we're going to talk about what this means and what it doesn't mean in a few weeks. And the sense I get as I was kind of preparing this series and talking to our leadership team is that I brought a lot of baggage to talking about membership. Probably I've never talked about it in the 10 years that I've been here. And because of just, I had a real low view of what it was. And I had actually seen, and to a certain extent experienced, unhealthy or moralistic or legalistic application of what it meant to be a member. But in this series, we're going to look at what Jesus envisioned for his church. And I'll close by saying this. I think there are two people, two groups of people who understand the view of church that the New Testament had. And they understand the view of membership that the New Testament had. The first is the governments that have actually persecuted Christians and their members. Those governments were wrong and are wrong to view churches as threats to their institutional power, because churches are not given political authority by Jesus at all. But those governments were right to believe that church members won't give their final allegiance to governments, but to Jesus. And the second group who understands what the church and its membership are those who have lived under government-sponsored persecution. Brothers like Mansour and Zubair, who have put their lives at risk and their families' lives at risk, are in Afghanistan. And they, Zubair and Mansour, have put their lives at risk by membership in the local church in Turkey. They would not at all understand if we talk to them about church as a voluntary group in the same way that you would, you know, talk about a bowling league or a model airplane club. They know the price of their allegiance to Jesus and their membership in the kingdom and the local church. And so, as I said last week, as I wrap up, we're going to be asking this underlying question each week as we talk about the church and what it is and what it's like. And the question is, what does it mean for each of us, what does it mean for you to say, we're in this together? What does it mean for you, regardless of whether you, of where you're coming from in terms of your faith? If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're just exploring, you're trying to figure out who Jesus is and what he means for your life, and you're not at a place yet where you've put your trust in Jesus, and you're just asking a lot of questions, and so you're thinking, what has this got to do with me? And I would just say to you, just, it's okay. This gathering with members of the body of Jesus, the members of God's kingdom, is a great place to explore, because Nashville Road Community Church should be to you a people who show you what God's kingdom looks like as we live out God's love to you. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you haven't said that you at this point that you want to formally affirm your membership here, there's no pressure at all. I'm not going to get up and point or any of that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. But instead, maybe ask yourself, what is it that you need to understand in order to stack hands as part of this local church, Nashville Road Community Church, as a member? We are definitely not perfect in any way, but we are brothers and sisters. And if you just, you know, maybe you just need to ask someone, one of our leadership team or our leadership team, some questions in order to say, okay, Nashville Road Community Church, we're in this together. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you're a member of God's kingdom, and you're a member of this local church, then ask yourself, what does it mean for you to say, we're in this together? It's the underlying question for this series. There is nothing on earth like the local church. And so, as I close, picture this in your mind. Picture a globe with all the nations of the world. Now, picture, if you will, and we're going to look at this next week, little embassies of light, bodies, family, city on a hill, royal priesthood, Christians who call Jesus their Savior and King. And then those groups, then those points of light, they divide by two. And then they divide again, and they click. And this new nation, this kingdom, is growing. It's a nation set inside the other nations, and it's not held back in any way by geographical boundary lines. These citizens are not of this world, and the kingdom that they represent crosses all boundaries, and it spreads like it spreads light like stars in the sky. That's the local church, the kingdom of God, and the world has never known anything like it. What does it mean for you to say, we're in this together? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have loved us. You've loved all of humanity, and you've given us Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. Father, you inaugurated in him your kingdom coming to earth. And Lord, you made it possible for all of humanity, Lord, not to no longer be alienated from you, but to have our sins paid for by Jesus, our King, who took the penalty for our sins, took death on a cross and separation from you, so that we could be adopted, so that we could be brought in, and we could be transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of light. And we thank you, Lord, that you birthed examples of what this kingdom would look like lived out. You gave us the opportunity to call one another that we didn't grow up geographically. We get to call one another brothers and sisters. And Lord, that there are those in our history that, Lord, really left the legacy of what it means to live out at great sacrifice, what it meant to be a believer. And Father, we want to honor you, not only in the way we live our individual lives, but we want to honor you by the way we live our life as Nashville Road Community Church, as your local church, as an outpost, as an embassy, taking care of one another, taking care of all those around us, even more so, taking care of one another, who are your citizens. Lord, reframe for us maybe where it is that we fit, that we can ask ourselves that question. What does it mean that we're in this together? Help us see some of the baggage that we've brought to the table, some of our concerns. Help us to get those on the table. Help us to understand what it means, Father, to be a part of your local church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.